Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The 12 had been with Jesus for some time now. They had witnessed a great many things and had received no small amount of teaching. Now it was the end of the semester, time for an examination, an evaluation, that they might confess the faith that they had been given. Who do you say that I am? They had already rehearsed for Jesus the opinions and confessions of others. It is plain that people held Jesus in very high regard, to put him in the company of John the Baptist, Elijah, and the prophets. It is the same in our day and age. Many hold Jesus in high regard, confessing him to be an exceptional man, a prophet, or even the greatest teacher the world has ever known. But as you know, there is more to Jesus than that. But who do you say that I am? Peter answers correctly as spokesman for the 12. You are not just what others are saying of you. You are more than that. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one. Well done, Peter. Well confessed. So on to the next step, the next semester of learning what that means, what the Christ is going to do, or what is going to be done to him. He's going to be a loser. He's going to suffer, not rejoice. He's going to be rejected, not praised. He's going to be killed, not enthroned. Yet, after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. He said it boldly and confidently and openly. Not that this might happen, but that it will. And not only that it will, but it must. Now, this next step in the learning curve is going to be a steep and difficult one for the 12. And Peter does not start this semester off so well. He hears the words, suffer, rejected, and killed, and he's had enough. If he heard the part about rising again, it doesn't register with him. He doesn't understand it. But instead of asking Jesus about all this and what it means and listening and learning, instead of that, he takes Jesus aside and not too gently tells him, no, Jesus. That's not going to happen. The Christ is not a loser. He's a winner. Stop speaking like that. You're going to be fine. Well, there's a grain of truth to all that. Jesus is going to win, and he will be fine, but this must happen first. And anyone who denies it or tries to stop it is anti-Christ and must be rebuked. So it starts off well, ends with those stinging words from Jesus. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And then Jesus even doubles down. Peter doesn't want him to talk this way, but he will, and not only to the 12, but also to the crowd. Calling them to him, he says, if anyone would come after me, don't think it's going to be all glory and happiness. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This kingdom comes through losing and death. Jesus will repeat this teaching to the 12 several more times, so difficult it is, and they still won't get it until after it is finished, until after the resurrection. So contrary does it seem to all human reason and thinking. So now, what about you? Today, you answered the question put forth by Jesus as we confessed together the creed. And with the advantage of living after Jesus' death and resurrection, you know how it turns out and confessed that too. He was crucified, suffered, buried, and on the third day rose again. That is the truth. Well done, dear Christians, well confessed. Now what? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Or let me paraphrase that for you. You must become a loser too. What did you just say, Pastor? You didn't say what I think you just said. That's not how this works. You're mistaken. Jesus makes us winners, not losers. Stop speaking like that. Besides, it's really not good for outreach and evangelism. Do you see? If that's our attitude, if that's how we think, then how just like Peter we are. If we want to follow Jesus, but we don't want the cross, we don't want to do without, we don't want death, we don't want to be losers. No, Jesus, this will never happen to me. But it must. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This is a hard teaching, but a good one for this season of Lent. No sugarcoating it. The kingdom of God comes through losing and death. The kingdom of God is for losers. Now, I'm using that word loser both because Jesus used it and that you might hear these words the way Peter and the others and the crowd did. For to take up your cross would have meant only one thing back then, that you were a loser and you were about to lose your life. And the fact that we react so much and so violently against that idea and that thought is an indication of just how much the wisdom of the world and our own sinful nature influences us and pulls us away from Jesus, even as Christians. We don't want to be a loser. We want to make something of ourselves. We want to make Jesus proud of us. And so we hang on to our lives and we hang on to our good works and we hang on to our accomplishments and pride and honor. We hang on to the person we want to be and we're trying to make ourselves be a good and righteous person worthy of Jesus dying for. But those things that we're hanging on to, they are our false gods. And they're our false gods because we're looking to those things for who we are and what we want to be and what we need. That's why we won't let go of them. Because if I let go of them, then what will I have? I'll be a loser. But whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So here's the good news. Jesus died for losers. That's what St. Paul said in the epistle. Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. That's the wisdom of the world. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still losers, Christ died for us. That's why we begin every divine service with another confession of our sins, confessing that, yes, I am a loser. And if you're not thinking that thought when you say those words, then you need to take some time this week and really examine yourself and your life and all that you do every week. For do you really love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Far from it. In fact, if you're like me, my first impulse is to love me and serve me. And I want others to do the same. And I like it that way. Which means that according to the Word of God, I am a loser. A poor, miserable sinner. So each and every week, we confess that. That we might believe it and learn to let go of all that stuff I'm trying to hang on to, of my life that I'm trying to hang on to. And then we hear the words of absolution, words really of resurrection. I forgive you. I died for you. I give you everything. And it must be this way. For whatever you can do and gain in this life will last only for this life. But what Jesus has done and gives will last forever. And with that faith, that faith which believes and receives the promise of God in Jesus, you're a winner, right? Yes. But really, that enables you to be even more of a loser. In a good way this time. Losing your pride to humble yourself for others. Losing your right for revenge and forgiving others. Losing your stuff in order to provide for the needs of others. Losing your time for those who need your help, your prayers. Losing all. And yet, really, losing nothing. For Christ is providing all you need. And will continue to do so. Now, you'll never do all that, and you'll never do it perfectly. You're never going to like being a loser, and you'll never get used to it. We have to battle and fight our sinful nature every day. That's why Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is, do battle with your sinful nature every day and kill it. Kill it in repentance and being raised to a new life again in Jesus' forgiveness. Kill it by living in that forgiveness, by serving others and not yourself. Kill it by being a loser and relying on nothing else, but the words and promises of Jesus. As I said, that's never going to be easy, and if you're like most Christians, you'll even think you're getting worse and worse at it every day. But that may not be so. You may simply be growing so in faith that that enables you to see your sin more and more every day. That's why we can never rely on what we think or feel or see. All those things will deceive us and mislead us. What we can rely on are the words and promises of Jesus. His word of forgiveness, His word of baptism, His word of blessing, His word that we heard today, that whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. Of that you can be sure, for that's what Jesus did for you and is giving to you. And He who gave Himself for you is hanging on to you. So come now to the table of the Lord, fellow losers. For here is a promise for you too. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood of the New Testament, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you steadfast unto everlasting life. Depart in peace. Amen. And it is so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.